Poster number 5.1. The Women of Rømø. Most of the women of Rømø did men's work. The majority of the male population on Rømø, from the 15 to 1800s, were seamen. Even young boys, between the ages of 6 to 14, were at sea. This meant that almost all the women had to run the family farm on their own, while the men were at sea, sometimes for years. Including single women and widows, 80% of the women were, at least most of the time, the farmers. They took care of the livestock, plowed, sowed, and harvested, besides the normal responsibilities that every housewife had, such as preparing meals from the basic ingredients that were available. But of course, they had, ever since they were little girls, been taught all they needed to know about agriculture, livestock, and farming. It was only the largest farms that had a large enough harvest to be self-sufficient. The livestock gave a bit of profit, but most farms needed the men's income from maritime work and from fishery to be able to purchase the necessities for people and livestock. It was also often necessary to hire help during the harvest. Women living on small homesteads, widows, and those who were not landowners had to seek employment during the harvest period. Many had to seek work on the mainland during the summer to be able to make ends meet and keep children and livestock fed. All labor was manual and done with primitive tools. Only the larger farms had horses that could pull plows, harvesters, and wagons. Harvesting was done with a scythe. Threshing was also done by hand. The rest of the year, the farm had to be maintained, painted, and whitewashed, and the masonry undergo repairs. Whitewashing material was made by burning seashells in ovens. It was called scale chalk and was extremely durable, which is the main reason that these old buildings still exist today. This meant that the women had to be hardworking and skillful to be able to do it all, but they were also their own masters, which led to a great feeling of pride and independence. This led to the very unusual change in rules for inheritance in the 1700s. It now, for the most part, was the rule that the youngest daughter inherited the farm, as she was the one that could support the parents the longest time. Women also resolved legal disputes on their own. Their confidence was obvious, as seen in legal settlement from 1738. Concerning a boundary dispute. When the judge asked if they would be willing to reopen the case if their husbands so wished, the women's answer was a resounding no. The boundaries shall never be moved. The women's authority was crystal clear. Poster 5.2. The Women of Rømø. Everyday housekeeping was very demanding for the women. Everything was handmade, from the food on the table to the clothes on their backs. The raw crops were processed straight from the fields, as were the vegetables from the kitchen garden known as a kælgård. All clothing was made from wool of sheep. The livestock provided meat, milk, and eggs, but the animals needed to be taken care of with feeding and mucking out of the barn and henhouse. The cows had to be taken out to grass and to be milked. The milk was churned to butter and cheese. Meat was mainly from chicken, lamb, and pig, which were home slaughtered. Almost everything from the animal was used. From the pig, the blood was used to make blood sausage. The fat was cooked and the intestines cleaned and used for sausage skin. Then the meat was carved up and salted. The chicken feathers were used to fill pillows and eiderdown. The sheep gave milk, meat, and tallow for candles that the women molded themselves. Wool was important for clothing and bedding, but it was hard work transforming the wool to textiles. The sheep had to be sheared and the wool to be carded and spun. Then it was dyed, woven, and filtered. Only then was it ready to be turned into linen, socks, and clothing. During summer, on the northern part of the island, the children caught flounder. In the winter, they caught eel. Seals were hunted off the island, their blubber cooked, and the skin used for clothing and boots. Cooking and baking was done over an open fireplace. During winter, the only source of warmth was the open fireplace, sometimes supplemented with a jam stove in the neighboring room, which had to be constantly fed with fuel, collected from outside storage of wood and peat. Fuel material had to be gathered. Since there were no trees on Rømø back then, the women had to use heather and peat dug up by hand and transported home either on one's back or by wagon. Fertilizer was also used. It had to be accumulated and then dried. Driftwood was heaven sent, but it too had to be collected, brought home, dried, and chopped. Fish, ham, and other meats could be smoked through a hatchway on the stovepipe by hanging it on a nail on the inside of the oven. The clothes were boiled, soaped up, rinsed in a large kettle, then rubbed clean on a washboard. Finally, it was beaten with a board and stick and left in the sun to dry. Almost no farms on Rømø had running water or a drain in the kitchen or laundry room. Washing water had to always be brought in from the well and taken away in pails and bowls. Since few people could read or write back in the 1600s, for many generations a mark was used as a lawful signature as well as identification for the people and livestock on the farm. These marks were also used on the family gravestones. This enabled the women to sign important documents when their husbands were away at sea. We have an example from 1660 with Karen Rasmussen from Sønderland signing a promissory note for the mark of her farm, and Karen Jespers also signed documents with the mark of her farm. A number of family marks are known from Tofthum and Ure. The mark of A.P. Møller's family farm in Østerhede on Rømø is seen on the family tombstone in the churchyard.